Up first, though, in this hour of the program, we get on board the telephone line. And welcome back to the program from WBZ-TV, CBS Boston. Michael Hurley with us. Hello there, Mr. Hurley.
Hello.
How's your day going so far?
It's great. We are, you know, you hate to be reliant on the weather for your mood and overall spirit, but it's nice out, so I'm in a good mood.
I'm with you on that. It's a beautiful day up here. Early spring, we'll take it. Sure, there'll be bad weather down the road, we know, but take everything you can after a winter time here in New England. Well, so much to talk about. Let's begin with the Tom Brady news. Were you at all surprised by that?
Not really, only because it was the worst attempt at retirement I think any athlete has ever put forth. It was the most, it was just not a very good commitment to the bit on retirement there. And the only thing I regret is not being more aware of the timing with free agency and how important that was with the Bucks. Had I really thought about that, because I was thinking, you know, we'd be hearing Brady coming out in June, but had I been thinking about free agency and how many players in the Bucks, you know, we're up for free agency, I would have said Sunday would have been the day. So shame on me for not sniffing that one out ahead of time. So that's my only regret from the whole thing. But no, definitely not surprising based on how you know, not committed he was to the entire retirement.
Do you think he had something else planned? Was he hoping to go to another team? You know, why go through announcing all of that if you're going to come back in 40 days?
I have to think it was some sort of behind-the-scenes struggle, disagreement with Bruce Arians, because, one, Bruce Arians is not a very good NFL football coach. He's fun with the media. He says some swear words, and all the reporters giggle and chuckle because it's so naughty. But on Sundays, he makes a lot of questionable decisions. And if the reports are true about, you know, problems behind the scenes, you know, and I've heard, you know, this or that over the past couple years, that there's some sort of disagreement, and that when the Bucks were actually good last year, or sorry, in 2020, it was when Bruce Arians gave up control of the offense and let Tom Brady run it. They never won. So I believe there was some sort of struggle, which is kind of bizarre, because let's say you're running an NFL franchise, whether you're the GM or the president of football or the owner, and you have Tom Brady on one hand. How are you picking Bruce Arians over Tom Brady? I don't understand that, especially when you have Byron Leftwich more or less waiting in the wings, someone who's considered an NFL head coach or worthy of getting a shot. I find that bizarre. So maybe that didn't happen, but maybe it did. And that's my guess as to why we saw the 40-day retirement.
Makes sense to me. Yeah, we're talking with Michael Hurley here on Downtown. In the meantime, the Patriots have just been, waving goodbye to a lot of people. Let's start with the most recent news, and that's the trade, if you will, of Shaq Mason going to Tampa Bay for a fifth-round pick. Why?
Yeah, I mean, it's a money issue at this point, I believe. With when they entered free agency with, you know, single-digit cap space, when you still had guys like McCourty, James White, the guys that they've re-signed, Nick Folk, all these guys that still hadn't been signed, he knew that they had to, you know, get to work with, and someone had to be the cap casualty, and Mason makes sense in that regard. And the fact that really, for as much as it's significant to lose both of your guards, Ted Karras and Shaq Mason, the Patriots are pretty damn good at finding guards. So if there's a position where you had to lose your starters, that would probably be the one you're most comfortable with. It's just when taken in conjunction of both guards, and now Trent Brown hitting free agency and potentially leaving, you're kind of asking a lot for your rebuild of a position where you don't have a position coach as of right now, on an offense where you don't have a coordinator as of right now. Definitely not the most comfortable feeling for, I would say, Patriots fans and Mac Jones in particular when looking at the roster as currently constituted. But, of course, it's March 16th. They'll probably add some football players before they have to play, but definitely not the most exciting or positive first couple days here of legal tampering, as you call it.
What was behind the Winovich for Mac Wilson deal? Was that about anticipating some departures at that inside linebacker spot?
It could be. I would imagine Juwan Bentley is going to get a contract elsewhere, and who knows what kind of market Dante Hightower is going to have. But I think it's partially that they might, you know, like Mac Wilson as a flyer type player. But I think mostly it's they, for whatever reason, beginning in 2020, Chase Winovich was just out of Bill Belichick's good graces. I mean, there was games where he just would stand there on the sideline the whole time. He didn't know why. He mostly kept quiet. You know, he didn't bark and complain publicly, but they certainly, I don't know, the coaching staff didn't like him. He looked like a decent enough player as an edge rusher, but he never really elevated to take on a Rob Ninkovich or Mike Vrabel role like the number 50 requires for the Patriots. So I think it's more about that than it is about the player they got back. I think Cleveland felt the same about Mack Wilson. So it's just kind of a, we don't like this guy, you don't like your guy, let's see what happens.
You mentioned the coaching vacancies. When might we see some of those jobs filled?
It's a fair question by you. It's not great. I will say this, and I said this, you know, whether it was, I think it was, you know, 3-4 weeks ago, when everyone was kind of panicking about the offensive coordinator, the position coaches, everything like that. And I think back to 2020, and around this time, you heard every reporter on it, you heard the people with the team leaking it out, telling anyone they could that they really liked Jared Stidham, that Jared Stidham was the guy who was going to lead their offense. And then, of course, the end of June, beginning of July, they got Cam Newton to run their offense. So I still think, as much as it's getting late and we're all getting antsy and kind of thinking they probably should have an experienced, competent offensive coordinator in the fold, there is still time for that. And I would still think, if you're hoping for a good season for the Patriots, you should still want that. Putting either Nick Caley into that role, who's never, you know, been on the headset calling plays, or Joe Judge, who I think might cause more problems than he helps, is not very promising. So I think there still has to be some hope that they have someone, if not lined up, but at least a plan to get someone, because as it stands now, they've lost a ton of brain power. And just, I don't think Josh McDaniels is the best coach of all time, like some people might, but he was certainly well more than competent at the job of calling plays and getting it into the quarterback and running an offense. So to not have that for Mac Jones in year two is a little bit frightening. So I would hope for their sake they get on that sooner than later.
Has not been a great day to be a Red Sox fan. The news about Chris Sale and a rib cage injury, and then Kyle Schwarber signs with the Phillies. Suzuki goes to the Cubs. The Yankees re-sign Anthony Rizzo. Well, they did get a couple of bullpen lefties, though, so that's a good move for a major market team.
For sure. You know, and don't forget the badass race car that is Chris Sale has sprung a leak. And we won't be seeing Chris Sale for a month or whatever it may be. So, yeah, definitely as exciting as it was for baseball to be back, I think today was a gut punch for Red Sox fans. But, you know, what were we saying about that team a year ago? And they ended up 2 games away from the World Series. So with baseball, I refuse to overreact or go crazy or light my hair on fire, just because it's a lame thing to say, but it's so hard to predict and it's so hard to forecast that. I'm not gonna overreact to a day in March, but certainly it's kind of the Boston sports scene right now is you're kind of missing out on the fun. Everyone else seems to be having the fun, but that's how it goes sometimes.
Well, what about this Bruins team? Can they give us some fun? How deep a run can they make?
Well, there's another one off board there with Tomas Hertl and San Jose agreeing to an 8-year contract. Mm. So another potential big boost at the trade deadline happening is now off the books. So, but they've definitely played well. They've surprised me, certainly, with the way that they looked heading into the new year. They were just sort of mediocre, and since then they've been excellent, and there's no denying that. So how deep can they go, though, is a great question. Just because of the way they're playing right now, they're playing to sort of get themselves into the division of the playoffs instead of the wild card. They're, you know, 2 points behind Toronto to climb into the Atlantic playoff structure. And what do you get as a reward for leapfrogging Toronto is you get to play Tampa Bay in the first round of the playoffs. So that is a little bit disturbing, I would say, from the Bruins' perspective. And, you know, they're not catching Florida in first place. There's no way that's happening. So if they get into the structure, they're going to play Tampa Bay. So it's almost like, I don't know, do you feel better if they stay in the wild card and end up playing Florida? It's, I don't know. The first round's going to be a doozy for them either way. So I'm not, you know, planning one of those long Stanley Cup runs. I just don't think they have the roster depth to go on one of those runs.
You know, we're pretty fired up, even more excited than usual about the Bruins up here with former Black Bear Jeremy Swayman playing so well for him.
Yeah, I'm a big Swayman fan. I think he's been awesome. I think he's responded very well to a disrespectful move as an organization this past year, from signing Omar to, you know, the inevitable sending down Providence. So Swayman's been awesome. I think he's the goalie of the year. I've seen enough to want him as a goalie in the future, but unfortunately, but in the short term, it's a good situation they have in that.
Absolutely. Michael Hurley, WBZ Boston. Michael, great catching up with you as always. Thanks for being with us this afternoon, and we'll do it again when spring is even more fully committed to being here.
Absolutely, and I'll be outside for that one. It'll be delightful.
We'll look forward to it. Thanks, Michael.
Yeah.
Michael Hurley with us from CBS Boston on Downtown as we get the second hour rolling on this Wednesday.